League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up and welcome in. This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is the three-hour radio edition of the million hours of podcasts that we do. It's the radio version that has a podcast of the podcast that we are known for, Bogman.
It's a dream. Inside your dream, inside your dream.
This is the inner workings of inception of In This League. That is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welch. Welcome in. Like I said, 3 hours, our radio version on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A lot to talk about. We got Casey Bubba in the house. Not that we don't want Casey Bubba back here, but I might be back to full throttle here in the near future. But Casey Bubba's joining us in the third hour. We have got all of our, just a little quick preview. What are our picks going to look like from this past week?
They're actually pretty good.
Okay, good. So, okay, I don't feel that they'll be good this week. Prediction.
No, this week, it seems like it's the hardest week to pick, even maybe worse than week one, to be honest.
This is where Vegas makes its money. Like, you and I, this is how Vegas gets it in. All the game one, the first games, we just killed the first week. We're like, oh, look at us. This is going to get us for the whole season. Then Vegas slowly chips away at you, and by the time you're at week five, you're in the hole, and then you're just like, oh, I got to win like six just to get even. And then, you know, you sell your house and then you live in a ditch and then you, start taking heroin or whatever. Whatever happens again.
Whatever, the process went quick.
I don't know the steps of the process. I'm jumping to different parts.
I'm jumping to conclusions. It's heroin in a ditch.
It's something like that. Yeah. To that general space. There's a lot of football to talk. Thursday night, actually a good game. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But I would be remiss to mention, obviously, the baseball season is about to end. Which is sad and good. You know, there's almost, baseball definitely grinds you out.
It's good.
It is good because playoff baseball is fantastic.
Yes, and I'm excited for playoff baseball and I'm done with regular season baseball.
Yeah,
the
last 6 weeks can be pretty rough and there's, you know, it's only so many things. We've also lost, you know, lost guys like Yelich and, you know, you're losing some of the big stars. I heard a lot of people just complaining about like, who are these people? Who are these people that are playing these games and people that are playing up to the final end of fantasy? But one thing that caught my eye in the last couple of days, and I just wanted to play this, what a scene for it. And I've run into a couple Mariners fans who have kind of echoed this. I don't think I realized how important Felix Hernandez was to the Mariners. I don't think I had any concept of how important he was because you would think that, like, you know, the all-time leader in every category, you know, if Roger Clemens wasn't a dirtbag, you would think Roger Clemens was retiring. You would think this is Mike Trout's retirement. But Felix Hernandez, who, by the way, is ending his Seattle career age 33 with 2,500-plus strikeouts. I see this stat here that says list of pitchers with 2,500-plus strikeouts in 3,000 innings pitched or less through their age 33 is only three people deep. Nolan Ryan, Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, I guess four people deep, and then King Felix because they didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, and Felix. Actually, I was just not looking at it because he bolded it. So four people deep. Nolan, Pedro, Roger, and Felix Hernandez. But listen to this scene as he was in the game making his what is most likely the final out as a Seattle Mariner, and he got the out, bullpen comes out, manager's talking to him, and this is the scene.
The end of an era.
Talking to the manager. Felix, Felix. He's hugging. They've all got a K sign out there, the entire stadium. is like King Felix here. He's hugging all of these players who, by the way, he doesn't care about any of them. It's people like J.P. Crawford
and
Adam Nola or whatever his name. He's just hugging Shed Long. He's hugging all these people he doesn't care about. This should be like, you know, people he grew up playing with. He's hugging his catcher. Fans are going. And now he's walking off. And he's just tears. Whole sea of yellow signs. All rise.
The king and his court one final time.
He bows. I mean, you would have thought that was Mariano. Why can't I say his name?
Marinara Rivera. Right.
Marinara pasta. Mariano Rivera. I could not say his name. Things are getting bad over here. Marinara pasta. You would have thought that was.
Is that how it's going to be when I'm eating my last burger of the year at Carl's Jr.? Bogman.
Do me a favor. No? This is what I need from you. I need the Diamondbacks to lose one of these games because I'm going to take the audio of this Felix thing and I'm going to put it over your video. And it's going to be the announcer going, "It's an end of an era." And then you'll just be chewing into the burger and it'll just, and everybody cheering.
It's the fat court over here. That's what it is.
It's the food court.
It's the cholesterol corner.
Ah, Scott Bogman and his food court.
There's a Sparrows and a McDonald's, of course, in here, like there is at every food court in a mall.
Oh, and
this
man.
Has been Bogman's favorite hangout for the last 8 months.
It's just so weird. Like, and I'm not trying to dismiss. I don't want to be dismissive. I mean, I remember years of trying to acquire Felix Hernandez in our fantasy leagues. And the guy, I remember our long-term Bogman one, the guy that had him just would never move him for anything.
Well, also think, you know, of what we just went through with Goldie, you know, they were like, okay, yeah, he's pretty much done. It's over with. Let's trade him, get what we can. This is what it would be like if we didn't do that. That is what he is to the Mariners. He's like, they're, you know, we're Diamondback fans, so we would think about this with Goldie. He's been there forever. He's been really good for a long time and all that stuff. And, you know, they had chances to move him and all that, and they just never did it. So,
yeah, I guess. I mean, and they also move. You know, it's funny. You remember during spring training, I had commented on that oddity with Felix where, like, remember they were doing all the practices. You might not remember this, but it was like all the pitchers were out. I was out there. You know, Yusei Kikuchi, everyone's paying attention to him. You got Justin Dunn out there. They're doing the stretches and throws, and Felix was like with nobody. He's just like over in the corner. He just didn't care. He was just walking around, and it was one of the things where it was almost like, you know, is he just like, you know, how is he checked out? And it wasn't checked out. I think it was probably rough moving, you know, from a starting pitcher to kind of being in a relief role and just being secondary to this team. I can't imagine what it's like. You know, I talked to so many young players, you know, in this, the over on Prospect One, if you guys are into baseball prospects, this recent episode, I'm talking to one of the best 18-year-olds in baseball, Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelnick. So two Mariners, by the way, I didn't even think of the connection here. I'm talking with the future Mariners in Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez. I don't get to talk to veterans enough. I would be curious at like, what is that mental strain where you were the guy, everyone's paying attention to you. You've been with an organization, you know, the king's court, you're everything. And then you start to become less of everything. And then you're something. And then you're nothing. And you're forgotten a little bit. And the only reason people are excited at this point is because they want to honor you in a relief role there. So, again, it's not to down.
It's nostalgia. I mean, it's what totally. Every, you know. Millennial wants is something that they grew up with or whatever, you know, it's why things like the second batch of Ninja Turtle movies were made, you know.
So that's there you go, Bogman. There you go. King Felix to Ninja Turtles. I like that. You want to know another interesting thing? I didn't even know this happened. I mentioned this on Prospect One. So when I was over at Peoria the other day, went out to interview Kelnick. I'd already interviewed Julio. I'm waiting for the BP to start, and this older gentleman kind of comes down, sits next to me, and introduces himself. How you doing? And yeah, you know, what do you do? And he's just asking questions, and we're talking. And
you say this older gentleman at the Arizona Fall League, does that mean he was 24?
No, he was like 70. Oh. He was in his 70s. Yeah. No, I was the older gentleman most likely at the most of the Fall League one. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking with him, and then I'm just kind of like, he'd asked me, you know, who do I work for? What do I do? Just lots of questions. We're talking about Arizona. And then it wasn't appropriate, too appropriate, but I wanted to be like, so I'm like, who are you here with? And he's like, I'm here with the Mariners. And he introduces himself. He goes, I'm Woody Woodyard. Are you familiar with who he is?
Woody Woodyard?
Yeah.
Didn't he used to play?
He used to play. He also used to be the manager. And under his managerial finger, he's the one that drafted Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, okay.
And I mean,
A-Rod guy.
He's a huge deal.
Did he give him the roids too?
Nah, he's a huge deal in the Mariners world. And, you know, he played a huge, I think he managed the Phillies for a little bit. He managed the Mariners up to 1999. And he's still in the organization. And it was funny. It would have been great had I had the foresight to realize to talk to him about someone like Felix Hernandez, you know, because this is a 77-year-old guy who played as a shortstop in major leagues. And then he was a general manager for multiple teams. And under his tutelage, there's some other big names, but Alex Rodriguez is the biggest one. So I don't know why this turned into a Mariners segment, but there was just so many. It's the inception. There's so many webs that connect each other from my interviews to. Then it would have been interesting talking to him about, we talked about some of the young guys, but then maybe talking about guys like Felix, who, when the hell was Felix drafted? He probably just missed Woody's tenure if he was done in 99. Felix came around in what, like probably 2005? I thought
it
was
like 99, and maybe it must have been right after 2000. Well,
he's 33 years old. I'm going to look. I'm going to look at Felix Hernandez because I'm going to, because he probably signed when he was, yeah, because he was born in 86. By the way, how old does Felix Hernandez feel here? And he was born in 86.
Yeah, well, I mean, 3 years younger than us. And I know. He signed when he was 16, that would have meant, let's see.
He played in the majors at 19. But so that means he was with the organization sometime before. Why am I not seeing this on Baseball Reference? Usually they're so good.
Yeah, it just says his... Yeah, it just says his rookie year was 2005, so...
Oh, here we go.
2005.
July 4th, 2002 is when he signed with the Mariners. So this is 3 years after Woody had left as general manager of the Mariners. 2002, and it's 2019. That's his tenure with the Mariners. I mean, you can see why everybody's making a big deal about it and why it was emotional to him. I just thought it was an interesting cap to the season. We've had so many of these from Poppy, you know, to Mariano Rivera or marinara sauce. You know, we've had these guys that have come out, and it felt odd that this was happening with Felix, someone who's been irrelevant for a while, but you do forget about like what a ridiculously incredible pitcher he was for a relatively long period of time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny to see these guys, you know, it's also rare to see them stick around this long, you know, because like, imagine if Evan Longoria was still in Tampa Bay, you know, that's kind of what this would be.
That is a fantastic analogy of the type of, like the same type of player. Like Felix was better, you know, in the long term.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But course. You're right, Longoria would be
It's
viewed.
Just important to a local market. That's kind of what you're getting here. And Felix like was Gonzalez better than almost. Most guys, but.
Yeah. Like Luis Gonzalez isn't like a Hall of Famer, but he's that type of thing. He's important to Phoenix. That's how Longoria, right. Longoria was drafted there, so it would have been a different story. Felix was, since 2002, 17 years later, it ends. And I do believe he also said that he's not retiring. So that was another thing. Like, he was crying about it and everything, but he said he's not done. I don't know what he plans to do. I don't know what other plans, what teams are going to allow him to do. But he says he's
gonna
not
wind
retiring.
Up like Woody Woodyard. He's going to be one of those guys
talking with me
around in baseball
oh.
for his whole life and has forgotten more about the game than most people remember.
And then talking with me in the Arizona Fall League?
That's right.
What an embarrassment. What a life that is.
I just can't wait for one of those guys to ask you to buy them beer. Like,
I've thought about
getting
that.
Closer because you know those guys a little bit better this year than you ever have. Like, you're getting these awesome interviews. And I just, like, it's going to be one of those things where you're like, oh, God, is this why this guy is giving me this interview? Because he thinks I'm going to go buy him some vodka?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny about it, why it would probably never have to worry about it, at all levels, there's usually always someone that's too old to be there. Even in the AZL, the rookie level, there's always some guy rehabbing or something like that. But to your point, I've thought about that because there's almost the element of where like someone would be like, well, I don't want anyone with a team to know it, so who do I ask? And they'll be like, oh, I ask this photographer, you know, this reporter guy that I've got a rapport with. It has never happened, thank God, because you know, then I'll be like a parent. And I'll be like, hey there, mister, I'm going to tell your mom, I think, if I can use Google Translate properly and probably tell everybody what the problem is. I hope it never happens. Though, you know, I have seen players at the local Walmart out here, Bobby Bradley and George Valera. Seen them at the Walmart just hanging around. Luckily, I didn't see them. They might be asking for the liquor.
They're just hanging out like they were waiting for somebody to come by. Hey, man, can you buy us booze?
How would that be the funniest thing ever if you just like walked up to a gas station? Like, because it can happen in our neck of the woods out here in Arizona. Like, I walk up to there is actually a QT that's like, you know, like a quarter of a mile from the stadium. I like walk up and a couple kids walk up. Hey, you buy us some beer? I look over. It's like George Valera, Brian Rocchio. Maybe there's like Taylor Trammell. You know, there's just like all these prospects. I'd be like, wait a minute. No, you sons of bitches.
You got any of your rookie cards?
Yeah. And sign some bats for me. Sign some bats for me. Sign this bottle.
Maybe some vodka's put behind this trash can over here when I'm filling up my tank. I'm just saying.
I don't want to create the next Josh Gordon or Antonio Brown. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
I just want to interview these guys and move on from it.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I want to roll with it. But, I know it's football season. Everybody's thinking about it. We have so much to talk about because I'm a mind reader. And there's a player that returned. This is another one of my mind reading things. Maybe I'm the running back whisperer. You think that's what it is?
You're the running back whisperer.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't need for any coaches anymore or any of that stuff. You can just tell.
Well, I had the LeSean McCoy thing and now I have the Melvin Gordon thing, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute. And so maybe I'm the running back whisperer. I don't know. Just throwing out some nicknames, just joshing around here, just trying to figure out where we're at. And then we have got Thursday night football, which was actually pretty good. A lot of storylines out of that. And then we are going to do some deep. We didn't get our update from our guy.
From who?
From our guy.
Oh, you from our guy. Yeah. I know his name. Do you know his name?
From our guy.
Yeah. Oh, you mean maybe from Drew?
From Drew.
Who is now officially a Bogman guy?
I was just testing you. And I'm glad you knew it was me. Drew. I was testing. Well, you forgot last time.
So did you.
I didn't forget. I know Drew.
Yes, you did. What's his Twitter handle?
Mr. Boom Shakalaka.
Look at that.
Dunked on Bogman. We didn't get an update on our DFS, but we are going to build some lineups. So guys, don't go anywhere. We got more of the radio show, of the podcast, of Bogman and Welsh, because this is In This League. We'll be back.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
In This League. Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call? In This League. There's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call? In This League.
Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, and you can find us online at patreon.com/ITL Army. You guys have a Patreon? Isn't everybody doing that now? Yes, but we were doing it before them. We've had it for multiple years now because we, I don't know. Bogman, I don't know how to say it, but it's like, because we are on a radio show right now and we do actually answer to the radio station for this show, but we also have this element of we don't kind of answer to really anybody. That's kind of the thing because we're independent. We've had a lot of people tell us in the past, like, oh, it's actually nice that you don't have some big, some big overseeing corporation that kind of mutes you or censors you. Fantasy Sports Radio Network does a good job of really not telling us what we can't say, but we're radio people, so we know. But on the podcast side, we do what we want. We create the content that we want. We say what we want on there. We have fun. We try to go off the beaten path, if you will. But with that, we're kind of an independent venture. So that's why we created a Patreon. It's a place where you can interact with us. You can interact with other In This League fans. And we give you lots of stuff back from comedy secret shows, which are an absolute blast. And we have such a good back catalog, to our GroupMe rooms where you can talk with Bogman and myself. You can talk with everybody else. We've got tons of different sports, lots of football stuff. It pops off every time football is going on. So if you would like to support us, or you'd like to upgrade your fantasy experience, or just be more involved in the audio universe that is in this league, go to patreon.com/ITL Army.
We had, we got a secret show coming up pretty quick here, but, you know, I was doing the mock draft the other day. You know, these mock drafts are like my paintings. They're my Sistine Chapel.
That's true.
So I put them together. I drop in all these funny clips. I almost put in, you just started out of nowhere singing. And this was during the day, so we weren't, you know, hammered or anything like that.
This is the basketball podcast, by the way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the only mock draft season that we have going on right now, baseball.
It's just still amazing, the people that listen to us and they're like, oh my God, I just found out you guys have a basketball podcast. Because for you and I, we're like, well, that's where we started. Just making sure. But this is on our ITL Fantasy Basketball podcast.
Right. You started singing My Humps out of nowhere.
I wish I could remember the context of it. I don't even remember singing it, to be honest with you, but I wish I could remember the context of it, why I got there.
Yeah, I don't know where it was. I think I said, I don't know, my picks here. And you said, my picks, my lovely Bogman picks. And
check it out.
Yeah, it was just really weird. And so I went to go look for, like a good spot to put in some of that song.
My Humps.
And I was listening to the song. I'm like, this has to be the dumbest song I've ever heard in my life. Like, I don't think I've ever really listened to it.
Sure. So why would you?
Yeah, right. And I was like, this is really stupid. Like, this is on another level stupid. And then I see a video that says top 10 dumbest lyrics in any song. And I was like, oh, well, I got to watch this now. This is distracting me, taking me down a 10-minute detour while I'm trying to get this all done. And there were some very interesting ones in there. But I think we may need to bring that up on the next season.
And I think that's the tease. That is 100% coming on the next secret show. We're going to go through the dumbest lyrics. And I'm going to talk about, I had a baseball player slide into the DMs on the Instagram. And it is a wildly ridiculous conversation. I'm not going to name who the person was. Not that really anybody would know. It's a lower minor league person. But the process of it was, I just didn't even know what to do. It's ridiculous. So it's fun stuff we do over there. But content. I know we want to get into the Thursday night game, but the biggest story is one that I predicted a long time ago. Call me now. It's the Welsh. Melvin Gordon's coming back. He's back. Bogman said he would be out for the season.
He turned into a pirate right there.
That was a perfect example of like my impersonations on how they go. They always fade into something else. I'm horrific at them.
You were like the other
call
day.
Me
you were
now,
like,
call me now, matey.
You turned some British person into a redneck or something. Yeah, sure. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's classic. Like I said, that's what I do with impressions. It's no doubt. But the biggest piece here was something I had been talking about. This is why I was drafting Melvin Gordon, and I was taking, you know, there's a massive discount on him, is because he's officially back. Keenan Allen posted a video of him walking in with his pads, and they were all hyped up. He's officially reported. And Coach Anthony Lynn on Friday reaffirmed a statement that Melvin Gordon is not going to play this coming week on Sunday, but he should be back. This is also important because the Clippers/Chargers dropped a notice that Justin Jackson, well, maybe this wasn't them, but it was reporters, that Justin Jackson was spotted in a walking boot on Friday. So first off, all the Austin Ekeler in week four, and then week five, Melvin Gordon will officially be back, and the fantasy owners that got the third or fourth round discount, you're probably going to feel pretty damn good about that right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was surprised to hear this news, of course, and I think this is going to be one of the most difficult things about these running back holdouts, because we're going to get more of them because it's just kind of seeming to be what the trend is. And the reason we're getting these guys holding out early in their career is because their career doesn't last very long. So running backs are feeling the need to get paid earlier and get their big contract earlier because, you know, they know that they're not long for the NFL. You know, they take too many hits and things of that nature. So, but I mean, I was surprised to hear him coming back because we really hadn't heard anything about this situation until, oh yeah, he's coming back.
It's just, but he was, this is why I stuck so firm to it. He wasn't going to get much out of it. Like there wasn't a precedent with the Le'Veon Bell situation like it was before where they found the loophole and whatnot. He had to report by week six if he wanted to be free agent eligible in the following season.
They said all this nonsense about Bell last year too. That's why I was just like, I just don't know. You know, I was never sitting there going, well, he's not coming back. He said he's sitting out. He said now. I just said, I just have no idea. Like, so I wouldn't expect it. So when I get in that spot, I'm just like, well, look, I'm just going to assume the worst.
Yeah, you just had no interest being involved in it was your thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I don't have any shares of him. And to be honest, I think I only have a couple shares of Justin Jackson. That's the only back that I got from L.A. So that's not named Todd Gurley.
Well, it's a huge deal. I've got some shares. I might have a team or two with shares that might also not have a win. So that might help maybe because I took Melvin Gordon. So there could be a correlation there. The big thing, though, and we'll probably talk more about this over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, is the Melvin Gordon isn't assured to walk back in and just be, whatever, the sixth best running back in all of the NFL. It also doesn't mean that Austin Eckler's value disappears. This team works through, or it's always wanted to work through, involving Gordon and Eckler. Now, obviously, Eckler is going to take a seat back. I think he was asked about it, and he said, like, yeah, I might play some more special teams. And he's like, but whatever. He's like, I'll just do whatever they want me to do. So he's not, hurt about this, because also he's walking into a situation where the team might be comfortable giving him a contract and letting him have the reins next year. So I firmly believe that Melvin Gordon is going to come back into form. And I said this a million times too, he's one of those rare backs that didn't need crazy volume because he's so productive in this offense. Like, you can give him 18 touches and he can have, 13, 14 carries, 4 or 5 catches, and he's still going to bring in 2 touchdowns, just like Eckler's doing. So Eckler becomes maybe a flex. Melvin Gordon, probably a low-end RB1. It doesn't even matter RB1, RB2. It's just a guy that you start every single week, but you do it in week 5.
Yeah, and he's... he's ready to roll. We're going to assume he's staying in shape and all that stuff. So, I mean, and, like you said, I know a lot of people, even Joe, we were talking about this on the Black Book, and Joe was talking about how, oh, everybody should have traded Austin Eckler. And, it's too bad because his value is plummeting. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, I think most people, unless they drafted, right before the season started, drafted Austin Eckler knowing like, yeah, I'll probably get some pretty good usage out of him early. And then, people all just kind of assume that Melvin Gordon was coming back. So I don't think that, number one, he doesn't disappear in value. He still has some left in the tank.
Well, he just changes value. He doesn't become like unvaluable. His value moves from Eckler right now. Is a lockdown RB1. There's no question about it.
Right.
So he is going to take a massive slide down to a flex option.
Yeah, he takes a big step down, but it's still, now he's at where you drafted him for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is why you drafted him, is for this stuff, not for, the nice production that you've got out of him at the beginning of the year for the most part. So, it's not like he's dying or anything. He's still going to be around. And plus, Melvin Gordon's been hurt in the past. So it's not like he's a paragon of health where we're like, oh, well, he's the only time he's ever missed games was to hold out. Nah, he's missed games before. So, I think Eckler still has a nice little role, with the Chargers. So there's no reason to dump him or anything. And there's no reason to panic.
Well, no matter what it is, and whether it's a, you are dealing with the Eckler loss or anything like that, both guys hold value, and that Gordon is back. That's the biggest push. That's what we've been looking for. It's not a Le'Veon Bell situation. All guys are returning, except for Antonio Brown, which we don't need to, likely we don't need to, but did you see Antonio Brown tweeting again? Did you see him get bodied by Eric Weddle, too?
Yeah, yeah. Well, is anybody surprised he's an idiot? Everybody knows that now. He's really dumb. He's a dumb person.
He's a very dumb person. By the way, the tweet was Antonio Brown was just like, you know, whatever he said, like, NFL needs me.
He said, the game needs me.
And then Golden Tate quote tweeted. Was it Golden Tate? Quote tweeted it and was like, what? And then Eric Weddle said something. And then some guy was like, you know, Weddle, don't even, you know, you can't even hold a jock strap, something along those lines to Antonio Brown. And you can't cover him.
You can't cover him. He goes, I don't need to, my dude. He's not on a team.
He doesn't have a team. I don't need to. And it was funny because Barstool was like, here lied Antonio Brown after murdered by Eric Weddle. So Antonio Brown, I'm so glad that I still think he's done forever, even though I did see the reports where it was like, you know, they say they've talked to a couple teams. And I was like, yeah, what teams? Madden teams? Madden, you know, he's going to join a Madden league. No one would want this guy. Biggest cancer in all the sports.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it's a good idea for any team to want him, but it's just tough. You know, teams need talent and he is talented. And I just don't understand why though, like, you have seen the Patriots try to do this. Like, you've seen three teams in this offseason. I like my favorite Antonio Brown meme right now is Antonio Brown is the first wide receiver to have discount jerseys for three different teams going at the same time. So, I mean, that's probably one of the funnier memes I've seen this entire offseason. The dude is just, he needs to get his life straight before anyone's going to bring him on. That means figuring out all this legal stuff that he's got going on and just, you know, becoming a better overall person and someone that isn't going to act like a crazy man anytime something happens. So it ain't going to happen anytime soon. So
no guarantees on any of that, what you're saying.
Yeah, he needs an off season at least. You know what they need to do is let him sit for an entire season and off season. And then, you know, if he can keep out of trouble, gets all of his off the field stuff resolved and becomes a normal person. Plus, he's got to show some type of humility. He can't be tweeting the game needs me.
But see, that's also why. Those are also the reasons, by the way, why he will not return to the NFL.
Right. Because it's never going to happen.
It will never, ever happen. He'll lie. He might lie about it. He might lie and pretend and make people think there's some humility. But it ain't happening, Jack.
Nah.
He's
a crazy person and it's just, he should be done with and people should, you know, he should be like the crazy uncle. That's how he should be treated pretty soon. Like, oh, there goes Antonio Brown again saying something ridiculous, but we don't need to pay attention to him because he's just not involved in any of our lives.
Or everyone's just like, oh, don't mind him. Antonio Brown, he just say crazy stuff. Everyone just starts ignoring him. It's like the boy that cried wolf until he does something really horrific, but we don't have to worry about it. He's out of the NFL and, you know, Eric Weddle got one final hit on Antonio Brown. We're going to do some DFS lineups here in just a little bit, but let's talk about the Thursday game. We've only got a couple minutes before we go to break, but in rare form, even though you look at the lineup here and you would say, okay, Packers Eagles, this is going to be a great game. Seeing Thursday immediately says, oh, this is actually going to be a bad game. This was an uncharacteristically good Thursday night game. Packers versus Eagles, and the Eagles, again, why my picks I know are going to be rough this week. I had Green Bay, and Philly came in and said, nope, we're going to beat them in Green Bay by 7.
This was such a strange game as far as coaching decisions go, because Green Bay had just the entirety of the momentum. They had had the ball for pretty much most of the first quarter. I think it was like 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and they were wearing down the defense and everything. And they were in field goal range, but it was 4th and 2. And, there was nothing Philly was doing to stop them. And I was like, well, it's 4th and 2 in this area. You just go for it. You keep the momentum because, Philly had just come off a touchdown. And I said, it was 10-7. I'm like, if you kick the field goal here and Philly goes down and scores, then you lose all the momentum. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't go for it. They kicked the field goal. So they were up 13-7. Philly went right down the field and scored. And then right before the half, the Packers trying to run the 2-minute drill and they turn it over and, Philly scores again. So it was just all the momentum shifted to Philly. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was giving them some hope and all that stuff at the end, but, you know, just too much to come back on. And Philly ended up winning this game. And it was really like you said, I couldn't believe it was good. And there was definitely a mandate from the NFL. Like, all right, let's calm down on the flags here, guys. So because there were some egregious calls. Yeah, thank God. Well, there were some egregious calls.
Well, but, you know, baseball, interestingly enough, I haven't gotten you out to a fall league game. They're practicing right now the robo umps. And what they've got is the umps are wearing headsets and the calls, the balls and strikes are coming from a booth. And so you're seeing this delay that's happening with the umpires for by a half a second. It's kind of rubbing players a little bit the wrong way, but it's more of taking it out of hands of what seem to be stupid people that don't know how to properly do it, or at least one or two of them. So let's go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the things that did go down in the game because there were some injuries, there were some reaffirmed performances, and then one guy is probably just going to destroy the hearts and minds of everybody in fantasy if they're playing against him. And then we'll do some DFS lineups, so don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
Has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Really? Welcome back, ITL in the house. We did have a request for more of the Saturday Night Live. Welcome back. It's In This League, starring Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, and featuring Kenan Thompson. We're back. Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You know, if you guys are into or would like to get into college football, whether it's just getting more information or getting into college fantasy football, Bogman has you covered with a multitude of podcasts. Give them the quick run through of the three podcasts that they can get that is starring
Scott Bogman.
Featuring Bogman. I do the In This League College Fantasy Football podcast. That one I've done for, I think this is our fourth or fifth season at this point. I also have a Fantrax one called College Fantasy Football on Campus, and that is with John Lobb and Justin Heisey of Fantrax over there. And then I'm also on a betting one called CFB Winning Edge. So all kinds of fun stuff there.
And listen on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on Saturdays to hear Bogman doing the updates on all the broadcasts.
That's correct. And I had my big prediction, and you'll appreciate this. What I said was, I said ASU is going to go on the road and upset a ranked Michigan State team. And they did. And my second part of that parlay was after they do that. And I said this well before the games even happened. I said, after they do that, they are going to come home and lose to a crappy Colorado team because that's the most ASU thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Here, hold on. And before you give the answer, hold on here. Here was Bogman saying this. We put this out on Twitter.
All right. I am going to say that Arizona State goes on the road and they beat Michigan State. And then they come home and they lose to Colorado because this is what ASU does.
That was from On Campus, CFF On Campus over on Fantrax. Did they lose to Colorado?
They sure did.
Oh, my God. You are Miss Cleo on the college fantasy football side.
Call me now. I'll give you your college football reading.
So let me ask you then real quick. The only thing, or let me phrase this a different way.
College, the Reggie Bush card, which means you have money incoming.
College fantasy football fans, their favorite thing on the planet is to take big dumps all over anything you or anybody says that isn't their opinion. College fantasy football might be the biggest elitist of all of them. And their favorite thing is to tell you when anything is done wrong, pronounced wrong. You don't like their college. You don't mention their player. And then they just want to troll and S all over you. Are you getting the inverse where people are giving you praise for what is an insanely crazy prediction that you hit both sides of it? Are you hearing from all the people that have to tell you about not taking Stanley Morgan or mispronouncing some name?
Of course not.
Losers. Not what a bunch of losers. I want to guest on your podcast for 1 minute. I just want to scream at your audience and call them a bunch of stupid losers for not giving you the credit.
It's not always our audience. And to be honest, it's not really the fantasy people that have that take. It's just the people that will listen to any single thing that is college football related.
And then they'll go sign on to a site that rhymes with Schmedit.
Yes, exactly. So
sub Schmedit.
That one was more about the last grief I took on Reddit was more about me bashing Yahoo than anything else. So and it's because, you know, we work for Fantrax. So we're going to push Fantrax product. And part of doing that is crapping on the competition, and Yahoo's the competition. But
yeah, but also, but you and I mean, okay, I guess I'm a little different. I still talk about Yahoo. There are things I like about them, but Yahoo pisses me off with stuff. But in your world of college fantasy football, it should piss off people more because they just would like not have a bunch of players as well. There's a bunch of divisions. They're like, we'll just do like five, whatever.
They do the Power Five only. It's the Yahoo thing. It's to do things half-ass. It's to have two Ohtanis because it costs too much to make him a hitter and a pitcher.
That's what pisses me off, because I think Yahoo's platform is top notch. I think their app is great. It's probably my favorite fantasy app that you could possibly have, but they're so lazy with things that it pisses me off beyond belief. And that's why it's become harder to play on their platform, because of the lack of care that's put into things, especially if it's not fantasy football. Anything not fantasy football gets the shaft.
Right, exactly. So, which, you know, you have to give them partial credit because they're the only other place doing college football. But
Fantrax, you know, and Yahoo, that's it.
But they just they do it half-assed, like they do so many things, and
it's just disappointing, you know, that people aren't like, people should, like, that was ridiculous. I told you, I'm like, make that, you know, make that headliner video and put it on Twitter, because that's ridiculous. That wasn't like, oh, everybody's calling this. You called two crazy things to happen, and that audience should be praising you.
Yeah, I mean, and I did forego my bold prediction this week because I'm like, hey, look, I've made enough bold predictions for a season.
Yeah.
So
I think you should say until I get multiple nice comments, I'm not doing any more. You guys don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And people wonder why, you know, people that
do things for praise, you're doing it for the wrong.
Well, no, I totally agree with that. But you also wonder why, you know, people in these type of situations can get worked up about like one bad comment. It's because there's just not enough positive reinforcement. Everybody's so focused on the negative, the listeners get focused on a negative thing. Oh, you didn't do this thing right, blah, blah, blah. And then it gets people like us worked up. It's like that old bit that Bill Burr used to do, be like, you know, you take your dog out, and you know, and I'm like, rah, rah, rah. And then the dog's like, rah, rah, and you find out that it's like the dog is getting all worked up because I'm mad. And he's like, I had to work on my anger because we're both of us walking around going, rah, rah, rah. That's what happens with the internet with all of us. You get mad, we get mad. And then, you know, Bogman makes good predictions and then nobody gives him praise. I'm giving you praise.
Well, I appreciate it. So you're at least I'm recognized by one person, if no one else.
Yeah, well,
so
there you go. You. See, there you go. All right. Thursday night game, Green Bay, Philly. Green Bay, they take the L. Walking out of it, though, a bunch of different storylines. Right at the gates, they went to Jamal Williams. And we had been talking a lot about Jamal Williams recently, that he might have been bordering on a flex option, but the first play of the game, he gets hit and gets stretchered out.
Yeah, you know, it was, I saw it happen, and I was, because I was doing my Thursday Night Football with Bogman stream over at our Patreon, and I was like, oh no, Jamal Williams in on the first play. Well, that's not good for everything I've been saying the entire week. And then they stretchered him out. So, he took a big hit from Derek Barnett, but even, you know, everyone follows Pro Football Doc now. And he said, yeah, you know, this is not a good thing, but at least it doesn't look like it's a spinal fracture or anything like that. Because it looked like he was trying to push the pile. Barnett came in to just kind of, you know, sit him on his ass. and they hit helmet to helmet. And he, it looked like he just went out, like just the lights turned out, you know, and he fell over. And so they did all the precautionary stuff and they stretched him out, and he should be. I'm hoping he's good. So I haven't heard anything outside.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for right now.
Well, him and Avante Maddox both left on the stretcher last night. So, and Avante Maddox was, he took a huge hit from his own teammate, Andrew Sandejo, came over from the Vikings, of course. And
I've got an update on him, by the way.
Well, what's the update?
So this is on RotoWorld. This is great. This is Jamal Williams posted on social media that he's, quote, Gucci. And that the only thing hurting right now is his pride from not being able to finish the game. So it sounds like he's gonna rightfully be able to come back into week, what is it, 5, and ruin Aaron Jones's value if the Packers don't already do so. Because I expressed my concerns with Aaron Jones moving forward. He was given 13 carries. He did get a score, but he only had 21 rushing yards. He had 6 catches for 37 yards. He piecemealed some value, but. Yeah, the running game for the Packers, it doesn't exist at the level that we all had the expectation to. So you throw on top of a rotation that's creating between Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Sure, Aaron Jones is getting the important stuff. He's getting the important volume in the scores. Regardless of that, these guys are not playing at the level, or Aaron Jones is not playing at the level of a high-end RB2 that was hopeful. At best, he's playing as a flex right now.
And I don't know if you saw the reason the Eagles won this game is because the Packers had first and goal from the 1 twice and didn't run the ball.
They don't trust it.
They didn't run it. It made no sense. I don't care. You have to. I don't care if you trust it or not. You got to at least try it.
Here's a great trade. You know, Aaron Jones for Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon comes back to Wisconsin. They give him a big contract, and they give him all the goal line carries, and then the Chargers get Aaron Jones. Gordon's
back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, wasn't he in Wisconsin?
Yeah, he was, but isn't he in LA now?
Well, no, I'm saying he's going back to his roots, his college roots, where he went to Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So he would go back to a place that absolutely loves him from his college career. They sign him to a contract. They give him the ball. He's perfect for them, and then the Chargers, because they're going to lose him, they also get Aaron Jones.
Yeah, you know, it's not the worst trade in the world, man. I would absolutely do that. But I just don't know if that's going to change. I don't know that if they had Zeke in Green Bay, it would change what they want to do with the running backs there, because Aaron Jones scored a touchdown early in that game. So why couldn't he do it again? And they had, especially at the end of the game, when they could have tied it and taken it to overtime, you know, they had 2 timeouts. So you have time to run the ball and call a timeout, and they just flat ass did not do it. So I don't know what the hell they were thinking, but Jamal Adams is okay. They said Avante Maddox has feeling in all of his extremities and all that stuff, which that one was scarier too, because he went down and he looked limp, and then they put him in the stretcher and he didn't do the thumbs up bit that guys do.
No,
they're getting stretchered out. But I think there was so much going on. I think he just forgot about it. So.
The other big one was, and then we spent some time talking about this week. And I mean, I don't know, maybe we'll see some emails. I'm not sure if it paid any fruit or anything like this, but we were talking about, you know, Davante Adams has not lived up to the hype for a lot of people, and people were concerned and people were dropping him in rank. And this was a guy that I was saying, go buy on Davante Adams right now, because owners might be scared that they're getting not even a low end wide receiver 1 because the ball is being spread out. MVS has been pretty good. Geronimo Allison, who's been just a dumpster fire of inconsistency, but they're still doing the thing. It's every other week. Geronimo Allison had a touchdown this week on 4 targets, but the ball has been spread around. Jimmy Graham has been pretty good. 9 targets in this game. There was an opportunity to buy on Davante Adams coming into this week, and we thought it was going to turn around, and it turned around in this game. 15 targets, 10 catches for 180 yards. But here's the big but here. There's a big old, give me a but. Here's a big but.
Shakira.
How about for J-Lo, halftime show? I was thinking more Instagrammy model or Nicki Minaj.
Mia Malkova.
There you go. Big old Mia Malkova here might have turf toe, that it looks like he's going to be battling turf toe, which could be a very, very big problem moving forward that we're going to have to monitor.
he was doing his post game conference holding his shoe.
It's not good.
And someone asked him about it, and he said, "It hurts so bad, I just don't even want to try to put on my shoe."
I mean,
that's not good.
That's not good, especially because he's known as one of the best route runners. And I mean, he is so dynamic off the line. And he's such a great route runner. And right here, yeah, it says he's battling turf toe. Yep. And to your point, he says didn't even want to try to put on his shoe. So there are no guarantees. They said that they've got 10 days here before the next game, which is a positive. So we don't know. We're going to have to monitor this. He might miss some time. They might have to sit him another week or two. These are serious injuries that can linger. And for his ability to cut like he's going to need to, all of a sudden, where we looked smart in saying, hey, we want to buy in on him, it might not pay off because he might miss some games. Or theoretically could be worse, Boggs, is that they could just keep trying to put him out there and he's going to be ineffective and he's almost going to play a decoy and that could affect the rest of the season. So I now have worries about him.
Yeah, I think that he's too good of a star, and it's, you know, Packers just losing someone every single year. You know, someone goes down for an extended period of time, and it's just a crappy situation. But I think that you have to sit him down until he's 100%, because I think if you do that quickly, it's closer to a month than it is something that lingers the whole season. And if you're going to make the playoffs, you want to make the playoffs with your best players ready to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think I would sit him down until he's good, until he's no longer feeling the ill effects of this. But I mean, this might be a thing where he's just not going to be 100% until he has surgery, and that surgery would have him miss the rest of the year. So
I think he's
just
going
to have to play gimpy.
I think he's going to play 2 weeks, because if you got 10 days till the next game, if he misses that one and the one after that, you theoretically might be able to give him, you know, I don't know, upwards of like almost a month. With that, you know, 20 something days, 10 days, another 17 to the next one. Yeah, it's like 20 something days. I got to imagine he's going to miss the next two games. And that's going to be brutal, but a great boost to guys like MVS and Geronimo Allison. We've only got a couple minutes here, but Jordan Howard ruined lots of people's time this past week because we have bye weeks that started up. So there's a decent likelihood that Jordan Howard was in some more starting lineups. He went over 100 total yards, put up three touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers. There are some other scores out there. Goddard got in. Alshon Jeffery ended up playing, but only caught 3 of 9 targets, but he had a touchdown. Miles Sanders even had 11 carries for 72 yards. So they were able to run all over the Packers, but Jordan Howard walks out of this with a lot of people thinking maybe they've got something the rest of the year.
Yeah. And I once again, I'm not going to agree with that. I think it's going to be a different guy depending on game script week to week. Because it didn't really matter who they put back there between Howard and Miles Sanders. They were both looking good. And Miles Sanders averaged a higher yard per carry than Jordan Howard did. He averaged 6.5. Howard was 5.8. Both very, very good, of course. But it's just Jordan Howard was in for the touchdowns. And it's one of those things where there's not another game that Jordan Howard's going to score 3 touchdowns. I feel pretty safe.
Well, he scored 3 touchdowns the rest of the season.
Yeah, combined. I think he can. And he's better. I always mention that, you know, Jordan Howard is a Jag. He's better than that because he has tons of experience, but he's just not as good as Miles Sanders. But Miles Sanders is a rookie. They don't want him in pressure situations. They don't want to have to lean on him. And that is absolutely understandable if you're coming from where Philly's coming from. If I can trade Jordan Howard now for something big, I'm
not going to get anything big. What are the best
after
you think
three
you
touchdowns?
Get? What,
I think you might.
What's the best you think you can get? Not what you want, what you can get.
Maybe you get Melvin Gordon for him.
No effing way.
All right. Well, are you kidding me? You don't think there's stupid people out there? In people's leagues,
I absolutely think. I think there's a couple people.
How about Leonard Fournette?
I bet there's a couple guys out there with satellite internet in the backwoods that would do that trade. Other than that, no, neither one of those. Not even remotely close.
Okay, yeah, a guy that hasn't played at all, and they might work in slowly. How about Leonard Fournette?
No, not that guy either. Not even close.
I don't think you should be able to, but I think you can. How about would you trade him right now for Josh Jacobs?
I would trade him for a heartbeat. Well, here, listen, we got to go to break. We'll pick up a couple on the trades when we come back, and then we're going to do our DFS lineup. So hour one in the books. We come back. We'll talk about all the players that we actually can't trade Jordan Howard for right here on In This League. Whatever.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.